Chapter 11. Now to Gantome. My telegraphs will have made known to you my object and desire to be but this, that you forbid Villeneuve to lose an hour in getting fit and putting forth to sea, to profit by the 51st rate craft wherewith I now am bettered. Quickly weigh and steer you for the channel with all your strength. I count upon your well-known character, your enterprise, your vigor, to do this. Sail hither, then, and we will be avenged for centuries of despite and contumely. Deru, shall a fair transcript, sire, be made forthwith? Napoleon, this moment, and the courier will depart, and travel without pause. Deru goes to his office a little lower down, and the emperor lingers on the cliffs looking through his glass. The point of view shifts across the channel, the Bowland cliffs sinking behind the water line. Scene IV, South Wessex. A ridge like down near the coast, the down commands a wide view over the English Channel in front of it, including the popular oil watering place, with the Isle of Slingers and its roadstead, where men of war and frigates are anchored. The hour is 10 in the morning, and the July sun glows upon a large military encampment round about the foreground, and warms the stone field walls that take the place of hedges here. Artillery, cavalry, and infantry, English and Hanoverian, are drawn up for review under the Duke of Cumberland and officers of the staff, forming a vast military array, which extends 3 miles, and as far as the downs are visible. In the center by the royal standard appears King George on horseback, and his suite. In a coach drawn by 6 cream-colored Hanoverian horses, Queen Charlotte sits with 3 princesses. In another carriage with 4 horses, are 2 more princesses. There are also present with the royal party the Lord Chancellor, Lord Mulgrave, Count Munster, and many other luminaries of fashion and influence. The review proceeds in dumb show, and the din of many bands mingles with the cheers. The turf behind the saluting point is crowded with carriages and spectators on foot.
A spectator, and you come to the sight, like the king and myself? Well, one fool makes many. What a mampuso folk it is here today. And what a time we do live in, between wars and wassailings, the goblin O'Boney, and King George in flesh and blood.
Second spectator, yes. I wonder King George is let venture down on this coast, where he might be snapped up in a moment like a mini by a hern, so near as we be to the field of Boney's vagaries. Begad, he's as like to land here as anywhere. Gloucester Lodge could be surrounded, and George and Charlotte carried off before he could put on his hat, or she her red cloak and pattens.
Third spectator, 'twould be so such joke, to kidnap him as you think. Look at the frigates down there. Every night they are drawn up in a line across the mouth of the bay, almost touching each other, and ashore a double line of sentinels, well primed with beer and ammunition, one at the water's edge and the other on the esplanade, stretch along the whole front. Then close to the lodge a guard is mounted after 8 o'clock. There be pickets on all the hills. At the harbor mouth is a battery of 24-pounders. And over right 'em a dozen 6-pounders, and several howitzers. And next look at the size of the camp of horse and foot up here.
First spectator, everybody however was fairly gollied this week, when the king went out yachting, meaning to be back for the theater, and the 8 or 9 o'clock came, and never a sign of him. I don't know when it did land, but 'twas said by all that it was a foolhardy pleasure to take.
Fourth spectator, he's a very obstinate and comical old gentleman, and by all account I wouldn't make port when asked to.
Second spectator, lard, lard, if I were nabbed, it wouldn't make a deal of difference. We should have nobody to zing, and play single stick to, and grin at through horse collars, that's true, and nobody to sign our few documents. But we should rub along some way, good no.
First spectator, step up on this barrow, you can see better. The troopers now passing are the York Hussars foreigners to a man, except the officers the same regiment the 2 young Germans belonged to who were shot 4 years ago.
Now come the light dragoons. What a time they take to get all past. Well, this day will be recorded in history. Second spectator, or another soon to follow it.
He gazes over the channel.
There's not a speck of an enemy upon that shiny water yet, but the Brest fleet is said to have put to sea, to act in concert with the army crossing from Bowlen, and if so the French will soon be here, when God save us all. I've took to drinking neat, for, say I, one may as well have innards burnt out as shot out, and 'tis a good deal pleasanter for the man that owns 'em. They say that a cannonball knocked poor Jim Popple's ma right up into the futtock shrouds at the Nile, where a hung like a nightcap out to dry. Much good to him is obeying his old mother's wish, and refusing his allowance o' rum.
The band's play and the review continues till past 11 o'clock. Then follows a sham fight. At noon precisely the royal carriages draw off the ground into the highway that leads down to the town and Gloucester Lodge, followed by other equipages in such numbers that the road is blocked. A multitude comes after on foot. Presently the vehicles manage to proceed to the watering place, and the troops march away to the various camps as a sea mist cloaks the perspective.
Scene V, the same. Rainbarrow's Beacon, Egdon Heath,
night in mid-August of the same summer. A lofty ridge of heathland reveals itself dimly, terminating in an abrupt slope, at the summit of which are three tumuli. On the sheltered side of the most prominent of these stands a hut of turves with a brick chimney. In front are two ricks of fuel, one of heather and furs for quick ignition, the other of wood, for slow burning. Something in the feel of the darkness, and in the personality of the spot imparts a sense of uninterrupted space around, the view by day extending from the cliffs of the Isle of Wight eastward to Blackdon Hill by Deadman's Bay westward, and south across the valley of the Froom to the ridge that screens the channel. Two men with pikes loom up, on duty as beacon keepers beside the ricks.
Old man, now, Jem's purchase, once more mark my words. Blackdon is the point we've to watch, and not Kingsmere, and I'll tell ye for why. If he do land anywhere hereabout, 'twill be inside Deadman's Bay, and the signal will straightaway come from Blackdon. But there thou'st stand, glowering and staring with all thy eyes at Kingsmere. I tell ye what 'tis, Jem Purchase, your brain is softening, and you be getting too old for business of state like ours. Young man, you've let your tongue rack your few rames of good breeding, John. Old man, the words of my lord lieutenant was, whenever you see Kingsmere Hill beacon fired to the eastward, or Blackdon to the westward, light up, and keep your second fire burning for 2 hours. Was that our documents, or was it not? Young man, I don't gainsay it. And so I keep my eye on Kingsmere, because that's most likely o' the two, says I, old man, that shows the curious depths of your ignorance. However, I'll have patience, and say on. Didst ever learn geography? Young man, no. Nor no other corrupt practices. Old man, tcht. Well, I'll have patience, and put it to him in another form. Dost know the world is round, eh? I warrant dost. Young man, I warrant I do. Old man, how do you make that out, when th'st never been to school? Young man, I learned at a church, thank God. Old man, church? What of God Almighty got to do with profane knowledge? Beware that you bain't blaspheming, Jem's Purchase. Young man, I say I did, whether or no. 'Twas the zingers up in gallery that I had it from. They busted out that strong with the round world and they that dwell there, that we common folks down under could do no less than believe 'em. Old man, canst be sharp enough in the wrong place as usual, I warrant canst. However, I'll have patience within and say on. Suppose, now, my hat is the world, and there, as might be, stands the camp of Belong, where Boney is. The world goes round. So, and Belong goes round too. 12 hours pass, round goes the world still so. Where's Belong now? A pause.
two other figures, a man's and a woman's, rise against the sky out of the gloom.
Old man, shouldering his pike, who goes there?
Friend or foe, in the king's name?
Woman, piece o' trumpery.
Ho goes yourself?
What d'ye talk o', John Whiting?
Can't your eyes earn their living any longer, then, that you don't know your own neighbors?
Tis Private Cantle of the locals and his wife Kezier, down at Bloom's End, who else should it be?
Old man, lowering his pike,
a form o' words, Mrs. Cantle, no more, ordained by his majesty's government, to be spoke by all we on sworn duty for the defense o' the country.
Strict rank and file rules is our only horn of salvation in these times.
But, my dear woman, why ever have ye come lumpering up to rain barrows at this time o' night?
Woman, we've been troubled with bad dreams, owing to the firing out at sea yesterday, and at last I could sleep no more, feeling sure that some had boded of his coming.
And I said to Cantle, I'll ray myself, and go up to Beacon, and ask if anything have been heard or seen tonight.
And here we be.
Old man, not a sign or sound, all's as still as a churchyard.
And how is your good man?
Private, advancing.
Gutenberg edition.
End of chapter.